The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 6.8, recorded on July 28th, 2021.
Welcome to the 618th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 451st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Dinser.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So, yeah, there's a lot going on right now. We're going to get at it. Last week, I had to edit a lot of the podcast. It was just a mess. But I managed to edit it all, so hopefully it didn't sound too bad to those who are just listening to it. Anyways, we're going to move on to what you've been playing. I'm going to start first. I've been playing a game called Last Stop. It's by Annapurna, which means it's very cinematic. I mean, they're the same people who are doing 12 Minutes. And it was on Game Pass, and I saw a clip from it a couple of months ago, actually, during the first disastrous Halo Infinite trailer. Anyways, it isn't quite what I expected. I knew there was one thing that was a body swap, but it's actually three different stories. One is a body swap. Another one is about an agent, a government agent who's having personal issues. And another one with a mysterious being who disappears people from existence. If you remember the Star Trek Next Generation episode, Remember Me, you know, people just this person makes people vanish and no one ever knew they existed. So I had no idea how they were going to tie in together, but after six chapters of each, and the way you do it is that you play each one a chapter, but you can play them in any order. And the length of the chapters are not fixed, so it's not like 15 minutes per chapter. One was really short, it was like 4 minutes long. It's much like a latter Telltale game in which you really don't... It's a lot of quick time events and decisions, I guess, more like Heavy Rain. And I have to say, the story really engrossed me. And I've gotten to past the six chapters of each one, and the seventh chapter is all three stories tying together, it seems, and I haven't played it yet, so I've left myself on a massive cliffhanger. What's interesting is the story I didn't really like the most, which was the secret agent who was cheating on her family and just getting into all sorts of weird shit that is all domestic. The sixth chapter, here's the thing. I didn't think there would be a twist, but there was a twist, and I fell for it, and I'm really all in. Gameplay-wise, the game is not very good. It's a lot of occasional quick-time events, you moving around and you doing dialogue choices, that's it. But hell, if you're going to do an interactive movie, then yeah, I'm all in on the interactive movie part. I really want to know where the story goes. Have either of you heard of Last Point?
No, I haven't. I have not heard of it, but from your description, it did remind me of Heavy Rain, how all the stories come together at the end, the different perspectives.
Yeah, except
that was very Heavy Rain.
Except Last Stop was written by an adult, and not David Cage. Do you know anything about it, TJ?
I have heard of it. I have not explored it at all.
Okay, well, it's on Game Pass for both PC and Xbox, and I have to say, if you have a chance to play it, play it. Even if you just play it once. This might be a new Grim Fandango for me, in which I play it every so often.
Interesting.
Yeah. It is really that engaging, and Annapurna is really taking all the stops when they're doing these things. I mean, 12 Minutes has some really, really big names attached to it, like Willem Dafoe. This does not, but they're all professional actors, and the writer is a professional. And here's the thing. There's a difference between a video game developer writing, like David Cage, and an actual writer writing. There's a huge difference. And I found myself with the body swap really caring about the characters. The other two characters are a bit of a shit, so I don't care that much about them. But I'm also very interested in seeing where it's going. So yeah, Last Stop is really is a really great story. If it was Japan, I would have said it was a visual novel, except visual novels don't really have anything action-y. They're just basically a lot of page flipping and the occasional choice. So, yeah, this is more like Heavy Rain going on. Well, how about you, Scott? What have you been playing?
Still playing Cold Steel and some Minecraft, or Cold Steel 2 and some Minecraft, so nothing new at this time.
Okay. Still doing Legend of Heroes. How far along is Cold Steel 2 in the Legend of Heroes track anyway? Are you even close to being at the end?
No. I think I'm game... I have to think. Game 7. It's game 7. And like I said, Reverie is coming out, and then Kuro's coming out. So it's like 9 or 10 games. And no end in sight right now. It just keeps going.
At least the East series, or the East, I don't know how they pronounce it, East. At least they're simplistic JRPGs, you know. No-frills JRPGs that you can just get through really quickly.
Yeah, so it's a lot of action, not a whole lot of story. So it's more action-based, but yeah.
How about you, TJ? What have you been playing besides the fighting game we all know about? Actually, there's some news in here, so if you've been playing Hitman 3, we'll discuss it later.
I've still been playing Guilty Gear for the most part. Actually, they just released a new character in the game.
Yep, I saw news about that.
The first of the season. He is a very large man, rotund. He's basically a giant, fat Texas man. And he wields a giant coffin that holds aliens in it.
Okay. Sounds like Guilty Gear to me.
And, he's ridiculous and fun. And basically, his big mechanic is he has one move that can be used 8 different ways depending on how you do the directional input. So... it's all basically a swing. He basically swings the coffin by the chain. But there's like, if you do a downward half circle forward, it'll be like a downward forward swing. If you do a bottom ways forward circle, half circle, it'll be like a sweep across the ground. And like, there are 6 other versions. They all have different characteristics. And he hits like a truck. He's not very fast, but like...
so he's basically the Mighty Glacier.
Yes. Once he's on top of you, he can stagger your guard. If he gets through your defenses, he will maul your health bar. I'm enjoying him, but like...
he's not going to be a main.
Half circle, all those half circle inputs are really like...
destroying your gamepad?
Destroying my thumb. Like, I'm decent at fighting game inputs. I've put in some pretty obnoxious fighting game inputs on ridiculous characters in the past. But, like, all these half circles are just, like, making my thumb, like, just peeling, just, like, making the skin just peel away.
Maybe you should get that accessible gamepad.
Is it a half circle like Sabin's move in Final Fantasy VI?
Yes.
That was a difficult one to do, yeah.
So, like, left, diagonal left, down, diagonal right, right.
Yeah.
And like, there are 8 versions of that, depending on which kind of version of the move you want to do. So, not only is it doing those half circles, but, like, remembering which half circle you want to do. Do you want to do an overhead hit, or do you want to do a bottom sweep, or do you want to just do a straightforward swing? It's so much like he's got some pretty high execution. I don't think he's going to be a beginner character at all.
Really?
but he's fun. And if this is like if this is the baseline for what they're doing with season pass characters, I'm excited to see what they do with the other ones.
Well, you know, now that you mention it, it's not a news item, but data miners have leaked out the next 2 characters. One is Slayer, and the other one is Big Titted Lady. I mean, Bacon.
I would believe Slayer. I don't know if they would go with the original cast again twice in a row.
I don't know, but the Data Miners have unveiled them as upcoming DLC.
That's interesting, because one of the things that that's doing a lot of work in that DLC is that it's called Season Pass 1. Season Pass 1 implies that it won't be the only Season Pass that comes out. So I'm interested to see, because I have my own theories about who they put in the game. Gold Lewis was among them.
Well, here's the thing. They have 3 models of both characters in the game. They found them in Data Mine in the game.
Yeah, that would make sense. I just don't know that they would go with them that early in Season 1.
I don't know. If they're going to have Season 1, maybe they're just going to go with familiar characters and then move on to other stuff.
Maybe, but I don't know. When I talked to them about I actually got a chance to interview the producer before the game came out, and when I asked him about what determines who they would go with DLC characters and what makes them a launch character, they were talking about they wanted to go with the original roster, and then they also wanted to go with characters that mattered to the story. So there are a bunch of characters that were in the story of the game that have not appeared in the main roster yet, and I get the feeling that at least for 2 more of the characters in the season pass, they'll prioritize those characters.
Well, here's the thing. Bacon was also data mined to appear in Samurai Showdown, and she hasn't appeared yet.
Yeah.
But the data miner is speculating it could be a simultaneous reveal for both games.
It's going to be interesting because we won't be waiting horribly long. Yeah. They're planning on releasing a character pretty much once every month.
Yeah. So anyways, we're going to move on to game news. One thing I did not put in the game news because it's way too big, but we're going to discuss it now, is all the stuff that's going on at Activision Blizzard. It is just a mess. Today they had a walkout because they felt Bobby Kotick's apology letter wasn't sincere enough. And they have a point. It didn't go far enough. So, TJ, I'm pretty sure you've been all over this.
Yeah. One fun fact about Bobby Kotick's response. Activision, after the walkout was announced, I think it was announced yesterday or late Monday? Either way, Activision stock took a 10% hit. And then, after about a week of not responding to this, immediately after that walkout was announced and the stock took a hit, then Bobby Kotick put a response together. And it was posted on the investor relations website for Activision, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. That sort of gives away the game, right? He's more concerned about the
shareholders.
The shareholders than he is about the actual employees.
Yes. And it's so much like he says a lot of I'm with you, I believe in this company and I'm right there alongside all of you. It's like, no, you're fucking not. You're like, Bobby Kotick is like the least in touch person.
Well, remember, he's the one who said he wanted to instill fear and suspicion amongst his employees to make them work better.
He took amid a mass layoff of Blizzard and Activision employees, he took a $200 million bonus, and then when everybody yelled at him about it, he cut his salary in half, but also gave himself the opportunity for a bonus that would make it up and then some. Yeah. So fuck, but Bobby Kotick's an idiot.
Well, I know some people at Blizzard. I know Gil Schiff. I haven't spoken to him about this at all, but I do know Dan Shu. Who used to be a writer for either it was EGM or IGN. I think it was IGN or 1UP. And here's what he said on Facebook. Before I begin, I am not a spokesperson for Activision Blizzard. These are my own thoughts about the recent news surrounding our company. And here's what I told my team, 4 women, 2 men, not including me. I was surprised and shocked like so many others. In my 3 years here, I've never witnessed anything close to the allegations that I have seen. In fact, I have honestly felt our organization was very proactive in hiring for diversity and inclusion training against harassment and biases like companies are supposed to do. But That is very easy for me to say as a male in a leadership position. And to be perfectly clear, I am not saying the problems didn't or don't exist. So what do I do now and how can I help? I told my team. One, this is zero tolerance territory for me. Two, I will have their backs no matter what. They can come to me for help and I promise total protection. Three, if I can help, if I can't help, then they are free to go over my head to my boss or their boss and so on. Everyone up my chain has strongly reiterated their support. Four, if no one here can help, then please use our available independent third-party resources to seek assistance. Five, we must remain diligent and help everywhere we can, even if it doesn't involve us, even if it's outside of our organization. If we see something in meetings, on camps, at events, etc., then report it immediately. I feel awful for what has happened and for everyone who's suffered, and I'll continue to do everything in my power to make sure we operate the right way with honesty, transparency, and integrity. Something people have to understand is that there's a lot of managers there who are shocked and upset too, which is why there are hundreds of people who walked out today.
And, like, it's not like they haven't done nothing, so I won't say they haven't done nothing. The firm they hired to do investigations
Wilmer Hale.
That firm has history of they did a major investigation into Michigan
and
some scandals in both those places and
Pinterest. Pinterest hired them to investigate its company culture after two prominent black women who'd worked for the company went public with racism and discrimination accusations.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bobby Kotick, he just needs to go, just like John Fletcher needed to go from Microsoft. Just give him his parachute, give him his golden parachute, and just tell him to go. Because this is affecting a lot of employees who want to work at Activision, who make a lot of money. And unfortunately, people just assume this company is a monolith, that everybody thinks the same there, and that's not true. So, you know, I'm still going to buy Diablo II Resurrection. I mean, I know that the developers there aren't behaving like this, or at least I hope they're not. But I know that not everybody working on Diablo II Resurrection isn't working like that, behaving like that.
It's a absolute mess, and I feel that for the employees that are trying to make this better, because like this is not just Activision.
Yeah. Who have we talked about in the past? Let's see, Lab Zero. Who was it? Was it Lab Zero who did Skullgirls?
Yes.
Then we have League of Legends, Ubisoft. Riot Games.
Ubisoft has been in the news frequently.
Yeah, Ubisoft, and you had that strange thing with Yves Germeaux, is I had no idea what he was talking about. It's like, it was like he opened up with one of his Assassin's Creed openings. You know, Assassin's Creed opening. This game was made by people of a broad spectrum of creeds and colors and religions and all that stuff. It was like he was doing it for Ubisoft now. It's like, yes, Ubisoft is comprised of a company of a wide range of creeds and creeds and, you know, all that stuff. You know, it doesn't work there, dude.
It's but yes, that is to say, like, this is not solely linked in. Like, this is Activision is a huge part of the problem, but like, this is hardly contained to Activision. They are not the cause, nor are they the source of all of it. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I hope that at this point, firing all the workers that have walked out.
You can't
do that.
Would
be disastrous.
Well, for one thing, no one is going to fire them. Even if it was like 20 of them, no, they're not going to get fired.
After everything that's come out, firing them at this point, nobody would – I don't think many people would work for Activision anymore.
And also, a lot of companies just snatch them up.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, let me give you an example. You know Brendan McNamara, right? He who ran Team Bondi?
Yes.
Guess how many people want to work for him? I'll give you a hint. It's less than one. By the way, everybody, if you want to really see what a kind of piece of shit he is, do the What Happened for L.A. Noire. It is just – Brendan McNamara is unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. So
– here's the thing. A lot of these companies are old boys networks, and it isn't – It reminds me of the Disney Company. Disney Company had workers that struck, you know, had a strike for better wages, and Walt Disney tried to do stuff. The law said he couldn't, so... But after that, those employees were treated like shit without being treated like shit. They were sort of blacklisted, and, you know, and but they also had the old artists sort of thing in which they got special treatment. And a lot of that happens with these video game companies and tech companies to begin with. You know, you have the few who are just basically frat bros and do whatever the fuck they want and forget they're running a company. And that there are labor laws.
Yeah. And, like, from what we heard about, just, like, everything that's come out at this point, the amount of just, like, favoritism and the amount of protecting your buds and pretty much shoving down anyone else who disagrees.
And that's not even including, by the way, the Hong Kong shit. We haven't forgotten about that, Blizzard.
Yeah, like, it's a mess. Like, I... it's just a mess.
Yeah, so, anyways, the reason why I didn't put it in the news is still an ongoing thing. I mean, it's been going on, and it came to a head today, and the end of this is nowhere in sight. So, we'll just have to see where this goes.
Yep. I don't have much more to say on it. Like, there's news that comes out. I expect we're going to continue to hear about this. This is going to be a continuing and common story as we wait to see.
We're going to move on to news. Capcom makes adjustments to Resident Evil Village PC DRM. This comes to us from The Verge. If you bought Resident Evil Village on PC but put off playing it due to horrible performance issues, you may be in luck. Over 3 months after the port's release, Capcom has released an update to fix performance issues related to DRM, and according to Eurogamer, it appears to have resolved the larger performance issue too, stating, and I love the wording of this, adjustments have been made to optimize the anti-piracy technology. Yeah, adjustments, sure. You got rid of it. That's basically what you're saying. That's the adjustment. Before the patch, Eurogamer reported frame rates tanking from over 100 frames per second to about 30 frames per second in certain scenes, making the PC version of the game significantly worse to play than the console version. The update also includes support for AMD's upscaling tech to help improve your frame rates even more, if you've got the supported graphics card. The problems, which may have been caused by DRM, though Capcom has not confirmed this, were noted by outlets like Eurogamer and a good number of viewers on the game's Steam page, though it's worth noting that the game still has an overwhelmingly positive Steam review, because they still like the game. Some players noted hitches, stutters, and frame drops, mainly in combat when either killing an enemy or taking damage. Worse for Capcom was that a pirated version of the game actually ran significantly better, according to Eurogamer and Digital Foundry. The patch was released by a pirate who goes by the name Empress, meant to remove the game's DRM, also fixed the performance issues, meaning that people who paid for the PC port were getting a worse experience than both pirates and console players. Yeah, so what Capcom saw was that the pirate version was doing much better and said, oh shit. We can't have that, or else people are not going to pay for our game, so...
Mm-hmm. And, like, man, what a huge difference in performance it was. And the reason was...
Now, you played the PlayStation version, right?
Yes, so I didn't run into any of these issues, but, like, I have a colleague who is very technical into PC stuff, right. And he described exactly what it was doing to me. Yeah, what it was doing to PC players. So basically, the way that the DRM on Resident Evil was working was that every single time you fired a bullet in the game, Denuvo would do a check to see if you were cheating.
By the way, we must note that last week's episode also dealt with Humankind removing Denuvo from their game before launch.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like every single time you fired a bullet in Resident Evil, it would do a check to see if you were cheating.
Jeez, thank goodness it wasn't Doom.
Now, the huge problem with that is that accuracy is like the most important thing in Resident Evil Village. Where you shoot an enemy matters. So when the game stutters every time you take a shot, that is extremely horrid.
And you'll want to take a shot.
Mm-hmm. And there was a second thing I was doing, like where, like, in addition to checking, where in addition to check, well, later in the game, for a brief time, you get, there are two opportunities where you operate automatic weapons, and you can only imagine. Like, you can only imagine, just like, it basically makes the game unplayable at that point. Like, so, that, it was embarrassingly bad how annoying this was. And Resident, and Capcom didn't do a fix for it until they until somebody finally stripped the protection off of it and realized the protection was exactly what was doing it.
And what's really annoying is that a lot of people bought Resident Evil Village on Steam, which is supposed to be the DRM. Steam itself is supposed to be a DRM unto itself.
Yeah, so it's obnoxious to put a second layer of DRM.
Yeah, well, it's obnoxious to have a first layer, but at least Steam is just, yeah, log in. Well, we'll just check to make sure when you log in if you're you, and that's about it. Of course, if I don't know if anybody noticed that there was DRM in Resident Evil Reverse.
I mean, it was the only thing that we've seen so far is closed betas. So we haven't even seen full builds of that game yet.
And I know you. You're not exactly looking forward to Reverse, are you?
No, they should trash that game and put their resources into something that's good.
Do we know anything about DRM? I mean, DLC?
DLC for
Resident Evil.
Yes, though. Yes. They have confirmed at this point that DLC, like full-on content, is in the works. We actually theorized about that on a previous episode of Video Game Roundtable.
Yeah.
We were talking, because you're convinced that they'll do something with Lady Dimitrescu.
No, I think they're just going to bring her back for the sequel. No, I was thinking they're just going to bring back Ada Wong, because everybody wants Ada Wong.
Hmm. I don't know. I think it would make more sense to do something with
Lady
Ada Wong. I don't know.
She's perfect sequel bait, and if they do it, I guarantee they're going to do an entire story just about her.
Maybe. I don't know. I feel like that's the kind of thing that they would do something like they did in Resident Evil 7, where they gave Lucas his whole own DLC episode.
They might just do that, do a Dimitrescu DLC where you do her backstory or something.
Yeah, but I think people just want another story with her after the events of this and new game. And here's the thing: if Resident Evil 9 was just about you and Lady Dimitrescu, would you be that disappointed?
I wouldn't, because she's an interesting character.
Yeah, all I have to do is make sure you don't turn her into Ned Flanders or something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we're gonna move on to the next item. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Let's see. Halo Infinite's first multiplayer beta begins on July 29th. This is from The Verge. The first Halo Infinite multiplayer technical preview will start tomorrow, July 29th. The beta will run until Sunday, August 1st, offering a short chance for those invited to test Halo Infinite's multiplayer aspects. It's the first of many technical previews for Halo Infinite as Microsoft prepares to launch free multiplayer game mode later this year. The first preview will include testing gameplay against AI bots with a bot arena to gather feedback on bot behavior and online performance, according to 343 Industries. This arena will include Slayer mode across three maps and a variety of challenges throughout the weekend. The bots will still have their quirks, which is why we're fighting them, but there certainly aren't pushovers. Be prepared, warns 343 Industries. Players will also be able to try the weapon drills, part of Halo Infinite this weekend. It's a way to test weapons before entering arena battles in a simple firing range. There will be a variety of guns to test, including snipers, pistols, the classic Needler, and the MA40AR. 343 Industries is also testing the UI of Halo Infinite, including how players unlock battle passes, interact with challenges, and use the store inside the game. This technical preview will feature a truncated battle pass and a small fraction of the customization options planned for launch, according to 343 Industries. The testing will also include the new Halo Waypoint web mobile app where you can customize a Spartan or view battle pass progress and challenge.
So yeah, but most people just reacted, just loved hearing Jeff Steicher's voice again.
yeah, like I'm excited. I'm like, they've actually got me interested in Halo Infinite. I don't care too much for Halo's story.
I do. Damn it.
I think Master Chief is boring, Jonah.
I love the story.
The worlds are pretty cool, but like I've never been wild about the story in Halo. But the multiplayer
channel
is great.
My inner just say all your taste is in your mouth.
But the multiplayer is great. I love the multiplayer. I remember having LAN parties on Halo 2 back in the day, and I've kind of cherished that memory. I still think Halo is a great... I think Halo is at its best in multiplayer, and I'm excited to see what they've done with this.
You know, no other game loves to have physics play out in its game like Halo. No other game. People have made it so that they can throw a grenade across the map, have it blow up, which will cause a weapon to fly across them back across the map. I mean, it's the game that invented the traffic cone kill. I will say this, though. Could you imagine if this had been released in November 2020 like it was supposed to?
It would be rough.
It would have been bad. I mean, for good or worse, at least Microsoft said, yeah, we gotta... We got to buff this up, you know. Interestingly, I think it might have been Cyberpunk 2077 that convinced them to do this.
I'm glad that they did, because I don't think, like, honestly speaking, I feel like they could release Halo and it could be bad and people would still buy the holy hell out of it and then they'd make another
one. No one's buying anything here. It's free to play.
But I don't want them to become a Call of Duty.
Yeah,
I don't want them to become like I don't want them to become a franchise where they just release games because they feel like they have to. And I'm glad that they are taking the time to make sure this gets done right, because let's face it, Halo Master Chief Collection was an absolute mess when it first came out, and it doesn't need to be that.
Well, it no longer is. I mean,
they've done a great job of fixing it up.
Yeah,
and I'm happy they have, but like that was a absolute trash heap when it first came out.
Yeah.
And nobody wants that. I don't want that. Nobody, Halo fans don't want that.
And also, you have to keep in mind, this is the first time that Halo is going to be released on PC the same day as the console version, and it's going to be free to play, and that means they're taking aim at Fortnite, which is going to be a task.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they need to... They don't need to have, Battle Royale or anything like that, although I'm willing to bet you at some point it'll be sort of like Griftball, you know, in which it's like something that comes out for 2 weeks, you know, on a cycle. Like, this week it's Griftball, next week it's Battle Royale, next week it's, you know, Infection. I just think it needs to have its best foot forward for PC players. Even if they'd already played Halo on console, right? They still want to show, look, we're a badass PC game. Because that's where all the money is when you're going free to play.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, for what it's worth, like, they do look like they're setting up some pretty good season pass content. Have you seen the looks at some of the armor that they're putting together for cosmetics?
You mean the samurai armor?
I mean, not just that, but like there's been some other armors that they've shown too that look pretty good.
I will say this though, one thing that GameSpot noticed is that you can customize your opening weapons, which is so important for a lot of people to have their own, you know, customized cosmetics on their weapons when you're first coming out, you know, because that basically identifies who you are. I'm still not sold on having the red and blue glow and having just different colored armor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sold on that. I hope there's an option in which you can have it force the armor to be a red or blue shade. You know, just from your perspective.
Yeah, I agree. I hope that they provide a bunch of customization in this and really make it pop. I know that that's probably going to be locked behind most of the cosmetic stuff that they're like going to make premium. But if they make it cool, then I'll go in on it. Because, like, I will say this. A game like this, I won't say that Halo can live and die or die on mechanics, but a lot of free-to-play games – not mechanics. A free-to-play game can live or die on good or bad cosmetics. That's, like, half the reason why I don't go back to Destruction All-Stars is because as cool as that game is, there's nothing to earn. There's no way to customize. There's, like – You get colors, and that's it. And it's just a bummer.
Halo 5 have Spartan stories, you know, so they're pretty good at churning out, you know, regular content.
Yeah, agreed. If it's going to be a free-to-play game, then I hope that they make, like, I hope that they nail it in the cosmetics. And it looks like they're working well on it to start, so I'm hopeful.
Well, remember, Halo 5, as much as people want to bash it, knocked it out of the park when it came to cosmetics. I mean, the different helmet shapes, I finally found the one, you know, it looks like a gigantic eyeball on its side. No, I mean, the helmet with the dome on it, you know, that's the one I always used. So, yeah, I was able to find a costume that I liked. But also, Halo Waypoint, yeah, it's ancient. It needs to be updated.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, we're going to move on to the next item, and this one is for TJ here. Hitman Season of Lust is out now, and this comes from Eurogamer. The next installment of Hitman 3's Seven Deadly Sins expansion has been released. Central to the update is a brand new escalation contract set up in a Berlin nightclub map. The Lust assignment escalation tasks Agent 47 with collecting intel on a secret admirer. Collect the clues and observe everyone on the dance floor to identify the secret admirer and the pretenders. Every time you start the contract, the admirer will be randomly selected to make each playthrough different and put all of your sleuthing skills to the test. Completing the contract rewards you with three rewards. First, the Scarlet Suit, a red snakeskin suit, complemented by matching driving gloves and sunglasses. Second, the Serpent's Bite, a remotely detonated explosive that looks like a snake. And third, the Serpent's Tongue, a unique crossbow loaded with blinding darts. Next up, Marrakesh, is the third level from the first game. It's available to play for free for a limited time until August 8th. There's also a new elusive target, the Heartbreaker, a wedding planner set in the Mendoza map. A new permanent event, Doormat Garden Show, is also available and free to all players. Four distinct gardens have been added to the Mansion Guards of the Dartmoor map. The Dartmoor Garden Show will play out as three-stage escalation on your first playthrough, which will be rewarded with the summer sightseeing suit upon the completion. Finally, Contracts Mode has been enabled for the Dartmoor Contracts Garden Show, giving players the chance to make their own contracts. And the Lust Content Pack is available for $5. So, yeah, you've been all in on Hitman, TJ. So, have you tried it out yet?
Yes, of course.
Oh, you have a season pass, of course. Yeah.
I didn't play much of the new trilogy. I've liked the Hitman series, but I was just too busy to get in on the new trilogy. But by the time Hitman 3 came out, they came up with that, basically that package that brings them all together and makes it under 100 gigabytes. So I picked that up, and I've been basically playing from the very first game into the third game. And I've enjoyed every step of the way. It's a wonderful murder puzzle. The Seven Deadly Sins content is interesting because you have each season is based around one of the sins, and so they've done a suit. They've done at least a suit, a weapon, a gadget, and a scenario with each chapter of the seasonal content. And I just think it's also just fun to, because like Agent 47 is a very stoic person, so it's interesting to get like. It's interesting to get
inside. You want to put a serve bot head on him, don't you?
It's interesting to get inside Agent 47's head and think of what he thinks about when it comes to things like jealousy or lust or anger. Because usually he's just quiet and stone-faced.
It just reminds me of a joke that people say that somehow people are mistaking people they've known for years, and all of a sudden there's someone who's dressed like a... Who's built like a wardrobe, pretending to be them, and they're completely fooled. You only gained 5 inches in height and 3 inches on your waistline, but you're still my friend, right?
And completely lost his hair and has a barcode on the back of his neck that you've never seen before.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, was this the first of them or is this the second of them?
This is the third or fourth done. They started with Greed, and then they did. I think it was Avarice, whatever Jealousy is.
Avarice, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Gluttony. So and Rage. So
Lust is the third chapter, I think. Right. They've still got Sloth, Wrath, Gluttony.
And
Wrath. That would be Wrath.
Oh, Wrath, that's yeah. Right. let's see, the seven deadly sins. Lust, Sloth, Avarice, Greed, Gluttony,
Pride.
That's pride. The last one, yeah, Pride.
That's right. They haven't done Avarice yet.
I'm willing to bet you Pride is going to be the last one.
No, actually, they've done Pride. That's what reminds me of it, because they started with Greed, then they did Pride, now they're doing Lust.
Scott, turn off your mic, please. Schools were actually good. Thank you. Mike.
It was doing that thing where it gains again.
Yeah, Scott. I'm sorry. His name is Scott. Anyways, so one last thing, Scott, did you see the article I sent you in which someone created a photorealistic version of Minecraft?
I saw that where they make it very photorealistic and all the trees have really good leaves and. Beautiful landscape. I saw that. It's really, really well done.
It still managed to be blocky if you get up close, but I don't know. Maybe Microsoft may say, you know, that might be a good idea for a Minecraft expansion.
Yeah, the Minecraft expansion. The Minecraft is good. I mean, the whole blockiness, I think, is part of the Minecraft charm. I think if you got rid of that, you would really...
Well, you need it because you have people who are mining and stuff like that. You still need that. But
I think
it would be nice, you know, and imagine seeing that with the ray tracing.
Yeah, oh yeah, it would be beautiful. I don't think you need to do expansions because they keep adding to it. There's going to be
but DLC, call it.
Well, I mean, there's 1.18 coming this winter. You know, it's going to be part of the Caves and Cliffs, but they're going to add more stuff to there. So it's like... I mean, you're still getting free updates anyways, along with, I know, of course, Microsoft's DLC of maps, update? Textures,
you know,
and
precisely
other stuff.
What's in the new update?
1.18, I don't know, but I know that they are moving some of the stuff from 1.17 to 1.18, so you'll get the new expanded build heights will be added in, the deep dark biome will be added in, along with its... that guardian thing that's in the dark that's blind and attacks you. The skulkers will be in there as well. I'm not sure what else. The lush biome and the dripstone biome will be in there. They're going to add some additional stuff for
it. Caves and Cliffs Part 2.
Yeah, part two with whatever they're adding. I'm sure there'll be another vote of some kind, a biome vote probably. I'm hoping the biomes that got rejected before will be brought into this one, because they had trees in each of them, and I'd like to see some new trees. That would be nice.
What's interesting is that Minecraft... When did Minecraft start? 2008 was the alpha start, or 2007?
I thought it was 2010 or 11.
No, that's when it was actually released, no?
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure.
When did you first get the... Well, you joined the alpha, right? Or did you join the beta?
I was in beta. I joined just before villagers were introduced and just after the hunger bar was put
right,
into the
so
game.
So the beta stage started in 2010, December.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's when I started, and it was really fun just seeing how evolved Minecraft has become, you know, just all the stuff they've added. Yeah. I mean, I remember the moments that were really revolutionary, where they added enchanting, you know, and I can't imagine not having enchanting now, and they added the beacon, which gives you haste too, and Elytra, which allows you to fly, and just all these really... game-changing additions that just change the feel of the game and in a lot of ways make it better.
Yeah, I really should play Windows 10 Minecraft because it comes with VR support.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net along with industry news at our Gaming History articles. We enjoy feedback. Leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave some iTunes comments. You can find me on Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Shard Ramore.
And we will see you next week, and there's probably going to be a lot more Activision Blizzard news.
Man. Hopefully for the better, probably for the worse.
I don't know. I don't know how it could get worse.
Oh, it could get worse.
How?
Look at Ubisoft and tell me that it can't get worse.
Oh, that's just bad PR. I mean, how could it actually get worse within the company? The only thing they could do is fire everybody, and that would be a mistake.
Like, I guess the worst they could get is if somebody was actually able to say, like, something like, here are actual and factual allegations of Bobby Kotick himself being involved in, or like something like that. So... it could get worse.
Yeah, but I think there's only – here's the thing. You could get more information. It's like, oh, this also happened, this also happened, this also happened. They had a slave dungeon on the bottom of Activision where people were you know, those Conan wheels, you know, to turn the butter or something like that. You know, I guess you could have that, but I don't think you could get much, much worse.
Yeah.
The best thing would be is if Bobby is just given a golden parachute to get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we will see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.